Hub was written by Tony Roach and based on an original idea by Tony Roach and David Specchio, and starred John Thompson, Peter Serafinowicz, Phil Cornwell, Kim Wall and Deborah Stevenson. Theme music by Bill Bailey, special effects by Carl Phillips and Nick Romero. The producer was Jane Bertou.
Hello. Lava lamp, then? Yeah, mate. I might be able to sort you out with some lava after all.
Another episode, another plan for a pub next week, when the publicans build the world's biggest pub and name it after the Titanic. But is it unsinkable? We'll find out at the same time.
Hi there, comedy fans. Last weekend in the comedy club, I was up at the Edinburgh Fringe, and you may have heard me do this.
Can you not tap dance on one leg?
You could try, but it would just sound like hopping.
Or say this. I've got a problem. I'm in love with a woman on the fringe, but she doesn't know it. And indeed, sing this.
We
Who knows what I'll be doing this weekend? The Comedy Club comes from the Edinburgh Fringe tonight at 10 o'clock on BBC Radio 4 Extra with me, whoever I am.
Now, our comedy controller next weekend is Australian stand-up Adam Hills, who will be sharing with us a stunning selection of some of his all-time favourite radio shows. Ahead of that, and as a little extra, which you won't catch anywhere else, here he is talking about one of his choices, The Strange World of the League of Gentlemen.
Listening to comedy radio shows hasn't become outdated. It's still popular. People will still, whether they're in their car or at home, listen to the BBC and listen to a half hour of radio comedy that's been scripted and honed.
I'm Bernice Woodall, and you're listening to Hours of Agony on Spent FM.
And the thing is with radio comedy as well, sometimes the writing has to be a little bit better. Because you can't rely on makeup and you can't rely on a funny-looking character and you can't rely on a funny-looking set. You've got to convey all of that just in the writing.
Take a good look at me and take a good look at Mickey. What have I got that Mickey hasn't got?
A moustache.
The amazing thing about The League of Gentlemen is there are so many different characters, all with bizarre little catchphrases, all in different settings. And my thinking was, how do you possibly convey that on radio? And yet, the first time it cuts to another scene, you kind of have a listen. You'll find yourself going, oh, hang on, where are they now? By about the fifth or sixth time, you're not even questioning. It's such good writing and such seamless editing that you know exactly where they are as soon as the next voice comes in. You go, all right, we're back at that meeting.
Can you hear that? That is the sound of industry. The sound of men with jobs going to work. To them, it's a joyous sound, a song of hope and dignity. But to others, that sound is just a din, a daily reminder of how worthless and pathetic they are. Good morning, job seekers.
And again, I can see the room in my head. I don't need it explained to me. And that's an example of how good the writing is.
Comedian Adam Hills on The League of Gentlemen, which you can hear as part of his stint as the comedy controller, Saturday morning at 9 and again in the evening at 7.
The digital station on radio, TV and online. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Time now, though, for this week's omnibus of Ambridge Extra. This week we've heard Jolene and Kenton finally leave for New Zealand. But when they get there, things don't go smoothly.
Am I glad to see you?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, come here.
Had a bit of trouble with the van.
Oh, I was starting to panic.
Sorry.
We're supposed to be setting off for the airport in less than 2 hours.
Hiya, Julie.
Hiya, Jazzer. How was Edinburgh?
Well, a foreigner doesn't fancy dress.
Huh? I'll start unloading the van, Fallon, will I?
No, it's okay, leave it.
Hey, cup of tea.
Oh, yes, please. And a bath. I've been dreaming of a long hot bath for the past week.
Where are the others?
Oh, we dropped Kirsty off at her flat.
Oh, she was supposed to be meeting Kenton.
Yeah, Jack's for the handover, yes, I know.
We went over there specially.
Well, she said she wanted a quick shower. She's probably there by now.
Harry?
Oh.
Did you not tell her?
Tell me what?
On the phone.
No, I didn't want to spread gossip.
Why not?
But in case he changed his mind.
That's not going to happen.
What's going on?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Through the dark night, on the way.
Getting in the mood.
Hey, Kirsty, at last.
Sorry.
Well, you're here now. That's all that matters. Jax is in safe hands and I can sail away.
Hey, can I turn this down a bit?
Hey, guess what I've just done?
No idea.
Hired a yacht.
You're going to sail to New Zealand?
Oh, hey, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
You'll never get there and back in 3 weeks.
No, I've booked it in Auckland for 3 days at the end of the holiday.
Well, have you told Meriel?
Well, no, I've only just done it. There, look, see? An email confirming the booking. Yes!
How old is she now?
11.
Okay.
What? Oh, Meriel has seafaring in her blood, on both sides.
It's got to be 10 years since you last skippered anything bigger than a rowing boat.
Hey, it's like riding a bike, Kirsty. Once learned, never forgotten.
But Harry, he's the last person you'd think. With a bloke.
I know.
And he ain't coming back?
Well, it doesn't look like it.
There's going to be a lot of disappointed women in Ambridge.
Damn, Mum, you're making me nervous. Oh,
sorry. So you carried on to Edinburgh without him?
Yeah.
And how was it? You see any good shows?
Yeah, and some utter rubbish. There was this brilliant stand-up.
Oh, more tea.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't say no.
Well, give us your mug.
Never heard of him before.
Oh, damn it. Oh, stupid.
It's all right, it's only a mug.
Oh, my hands are shaking, look.
What's wrong?
Oh, I'd better clear that up.
Well, leave it. I'll see to it. Look, come and sit down.
No,
Come on. Tell me.
No, it's nothing.
This isn't like you. What is it?
I'm just being silly.
Is it the holiday?
I wish we were going somewhere else. I keep remembering the last time.
Of course.
Well, I mean, it's 2 years ago. I thought I'd be okay, but... And suddenly now we're about to set off. It feels like it was yesterday.
Well, do you want your rucksack, Fallon?
What are you doing with that?
Just unpacking your stuff for the van.
Yeah, but I said leave it.
It's no bother. I'll put it in your room, will I?
No, Jazzer, just... Oh, he's such a...
He's only trying to help.
Well, I wish he wouldn't. Just come to know how you feel.
No. Oh, he's all excited about it.
Well, shouldn't you tell him?
I can't. I just can't.
Why not?
Because it's all to do with Sid and, well, the fact that I got together with him so soon after Sid died, I mean, what's Lucy going to think?
Lucy? Who cares what she thinks?
I am sailing home again, across the sea.
And this one...
The window in the gents. Uh-huh. I do know which key's which.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget, when you lock up at night...
To turn on the alarm.
Yeah, well, I'm always forgetting that.
Oh, isn't it time you were going?
Yeah, there's £100 worth of change here in the safe, and if you forget the combination...
I won't.
Yeah, well, it's written on the back of the picture of Elvis. And, hey, that's odd.
What?
My passport. It's gone.
What do you mean, gone?
Fallon, do you want some of this?
Oh, bath oil. Oh, jasmine, lovely.
Then there's Kenton's ex.
What?
And his kid.
What about them?
Well, suppose they don't like me.
Well, don't be daft. Everyone likes you.
But we're going to be staying in their home.
Oh, yeah, we'll save you a fortune in hotel bills.
Well, that's another thing. This trip's costing us an arm and a leg.
Yeah, but I thought Kenton's...
Well, she gave us a bit toward it.
Oh, yeah, you'll enjoy it once you get there.
I just wish...
What?
No, the wicker had gone somewhere else.
Like where?
Anywhere, I don't know. More peaceful, just the two of us. Without all this baggage.
That's everything at the van, Fallon.
You didn't need to do that.
Hey, cup of tea, Jazzer.
Well, you'll be wanting to get home, won't you?
Oh, let him have a cup of tea.
Let's not bother, ladies. I'll get my in.
Oh, could at least be a bit grateful. He's brought all your stuff in for you.
I didn't ask him to do that.
No, that's very sweet of him.
No, it isn't.
What's up?
Nothing. I just wish he'd go home.
Jolene!
Oh, there he is at last.
Jolene!
In the kitchen!
Well, disastrous strike. We can't go on holiday.
What?
What the hell has happened here?
I had an accident.
Well, never mind that. Why can't you go on holiday?
I've lost my passport.
Oh, there you go, Mum. Problem solved.
What?
You don't have to go after all.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Ignore her.
I'm going to go and have my bag.
When did you last have it?
Hmm? Well, after I renewed it. I could have sworn I put it in the safe at Jack's, but all I can think is I've left it in the pocket of my jeans.
Well, don't just stand there. Come on, Kenton, let's go and have a look.
Is someone in there?
Only me.
Jazzer, what are you doing?
Having a bath.
What?
Kelly, join me.
I left Kirsty at Jack's. She's going to carry on looking there.
Which jeans was you wearing?
When?
When you got the new passport.
Oh,
Nothing in this pair.
Could it be my black ones?
Well, there's no black ones in here.
Ah, no, well, I've packed them.
Packed them?
Yeah, in the suitcase.
Oh, for crying out loud. Took us half an hour to get that suitcase closed.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay, okay. We'll just have to unpack it, won't we?
Oh, that's better.
Oh, careful. Watch where you put your feet.
Ah! Oh. What the hell?
I told you. Why can't you look where you're going?
Cheers for the sympathy.
Well, it serves you right for pinching my back.
I'm in agony here.
Sit down. Let me see. And cover yourself up.
Oh, sorry, sorry. This toe's a wee bit in the small side.
Give me your foot. Jazzer.
It's perfectly clean. I just washed it.
Your toenails.
What's wrong with them?
Well, there's no sign of any blood. Your foot's fine.
But I felt it. It went right in. There's definitely a hole there.
Don't make such a fuss. And do you usually wander around other people's houses without your clothes on?
Oh, I was going to ask if somebody could lend me a clean T-shirt. Oh, mine are that rank.
Surely you can wear a dirty T-shirt to walk home in.
I thought maybe I'd stick around.
What?
I could help you in the bar.
Well, I don't need help in the bar. Reese will be there, and Nick.
Okay, so I'll hang a bit with you and have a few bevvies then.
I don't know.
What?
We're home now. Holiday's over.
So?
Look, I don't know what you think you're playing at.
Huh?
But can I remind you what you promised after, you know, that night?
So, what are you saying?
Well, ever since we got back, you've been acting like you're moving in. You said we could go back to just being mates.
I thought that's what I was being. Matey.
Oh, come on, Jazz.
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't fancy going back to an empty flat in my own.
Oh.
I never imagined I'd miss old Harry, but...
Right. Okay. But please, go and put some clothes on.
It isn't here, is it?
Yeah, no, hang on. I haven't finished yet.
Oh, it's not going to be in there. That's old brewery receipts.
Well, obviously, I was trying to find a safe hiding place, somewhere no one would think of looking.
Hello, the ball? Yeah, that's right, yeah. Okay, thanks. The taxi will be here in 20 minutes.
Oh, God, it's got to be here somewhere.
Ransack the bedroom, unpack the suitcase, been all through the shelves in here and the filing cabinet.
Desk drawer, haven't done that yet.
But it's only got biros and rubber bands in it.
Oh, God, it's locked.
Well, it doesn't lock, it's just a bit stiff.
No, no, don't want to budge.
Well, you have to wiggle it a bit. Oh, let me. Ow!
Oh, my God.
Ow!
You all right?
Oh,
look, where did it hit you? Just let me see.
Ow! Are you okay?
Well, did it get you in the eye?
Oh.
Let me see.
Oh, my God, what happened?
This drawer, it shot out and it hit.
No, I'm okay.
Well, can you see all right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, it caught me.
It's starting to swell up.
Oh, how's your cheekbone? Look, is it broken?
No, it's okay.
She doesn't have one hell of a black eye.
Oh.
Fallon. Fallon, your phone's ringing. It's Kirsty, do you want me to answer it? Kirsty, hi.
Jazzer?
Fallon's going to kill me answering her phone like this, but I don't know where she's got to.
Are you at the ball?
Hi.
Well, is Kenton there?
Well, there's been a wee fracas. I think he and Jolene are having a punch-up.
What?
Fallon's going to separate them.
You're joking, right?
No.
Well, are they still going on holiday?
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, well, the thing is, I found Kenton's passport. Tell him I'm bringing it over.
Where is he now?
Oh, he said he had to update his Facebook page.
His Facebook page?
Well, said because you were going to go sailing.
Oh, I don't believe it.
He thought
it.
He'd upload some pictures of his old boat.
What old boat?
What? When he lived in Australia, when they used to do the chartering. Oh look, here's Kirsty now.
Facebook, honestly.
Are you sure about this, ma'am?
Oh, I can't back out now, can I?
You look dreadful.
Oh, cheers, love.
Well, you didn't want to go in the first place, and now everyone's going to think that Kenton beat you up.
Well, with a bit of luck, the swelling will have gone down by the time we get to New Zealand.
Hiya.
Hi, Kirsty.
Well, if not, I'll just have to keep my sunglasses on.
Oh, Jolene, did Kenton do that?
See?
It was an accident.
I thought Jazza was joking.
Why? What did he say?
Nothing. Just that there'd been a bit of an argument.
Yeah. Well, I was about ready to thump him. We turned that place upside down looking for that passport.
No weight limit to what you're allowed to take on a plane.
Yeah, would you like to explain that to Kenton?
Oh, love the T-shirt, Jazz.
Good, innit? Kenton lends it to me.
Yeah, looks better on you than it does on him.
Hey, do me a favour, Jazzer. Don't give it back. He's a bit old for cap sleeves and smutty slogans.
Look, this looks like your taxi now.
Kirsty, oh, my saviour.
There you go. One passport. Oh,
where was it?
In the freezer.
What? At the freezer, of course.
I just fancied some ice cream.
Oh, how could I forget?
How could you think of putting it in there in the first place?
Well, I read it in a spy novel. Classic place to hide things you don't want anyone to find.
Worked then, didn't it?
Hey, you got the tickets?
Yeah. Don't worry. They're in my... Where is it? Where's my shoulder bag? Oh, I must have left it upstairs.
No, it's here.
Oh, yeah, of course it is.
Oh, come on, let's get these cases into the cab.
Oh, don't you touch them. Oh, dear.
Okay. Oh, and remember, Kirsty, I'll be tweeting at every stage of the journey, so you can keep the guys at Jack's up to speed on what we're doing.
Yes, I'm sure they'll all be fascinated to know what you had for breakfast.
Yeah. Are you okay?
What do you think?
Well, how's your poor eye?
Oh, come on, get in the car.
Okay. Hey, have a brilliant time.
Yeah, we will.
Bye, Mum.
Bye, darling.
Things can only get better. Oh. Mind you take care of her, Kenton.
Hey, trust me.
Okay, that's everything, then.
Look after the bull.
I will. Bye. Bye. I wonder if they're going to survive this trip.
Is there anything in particular you'd like to do?
Yeah, no, nothing special.
Jolene?
Can we go to the quarry?
No, not today.
Oh, please, Mum.
What's the quarry?
It's our outdoor rock climbing venue.
Oh.
Rock climbing?
It's one of the activities we offer. Rock climbing and bouldering, abseiling, kayaking.
Oh, you like climbing, do you, Mary?
Love it.
You ever done any?
Well, a long time ago, when I first went to Australia. Well, of course, I've climbed a fair few riggings in my time. Isn't that right, Mel?
So, can we?
What?
Go to the quarry.
Oh, not today, sweetheart. Kenton and Jolene are still really tired after their journey.
Still?
So I thought we could just go for a little walk down by the river.
Boring.
Hey, I'm up for a bit of climbing, if that's what you want to do.
You can count me out.
Does your eye still hurt?
No, it's fine.
It's got a very funny colour.
Mariel?
Oh, it's the rest of me that's the problem.
Okay, so why don't I give Jolene the guided tour and you guys can go and commune with a rock face?
Yay!
All right with you, Jolene?
Yes, it's fine.
But maybe we should start with the indoor wall.
Oh, no.
Since Kenton's a bit out of practice.
That's not half so much fun.
And it is pretty cold outside.
The sun is shining and it hasn't rained for ages.
Well...
Please?
Well, sounds good to me.
Okay, come on then, Mary. Let's you and me get the gear together. What size feet do you have, Kenton?
Feet? 9. Why?
You'll be needing some rock boots.
Is there any more coffee in that pot?
Oh, I can easily make some more.
It still feels like the middle of the night to me.
I'll put the jug on.
And I feel absolutely fine.
Oh, don't gloat, Kenton.
Well, one of his less endearing habits.
What?
Oh, by the way, did you ever hear from Lance?
Lance?
After you left Australia.
No, why?
Well, he recently got in touch with me on Facebook.
Who's Lance?
Oh, just someone we used to work with.
Okay, that's our belay rope in place. How are you getting on?
Yeah, I'm not sure about these boots. I think they're a bit on the small side.
Oh, that's how they're meant to be. They're supposed to squish your toes up.
Gives you extra leverage.
Yeah, I get that. But my toes have all gone numb.
Only because it's cold. The feeling will come back as soon as you start to climb.
Can I go first?
Yeah, you go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah, show me how it's done.
All right.
Uh-oh, the dreaded climbing harness. Gets you in your tender parts, as I recall, like some kind of medieval instrument of torture.
It shouldn't be too uncomfortable if you've got it done upright.
Aiden didn't think I could do this climb, did you?
Well, it's pretty advanced. Most 11-year-olds wouldn't have the upper body strength.
But I'm quite tall for my age.
You take after your mum.
And me. I'm quite tall for my age.
You're not as tall as I remember.
Well, that's because you were a lot littler last time we met.
Now, what you do with the rope is you make a special knot.
Yeah, I know. Figure of eight.
Actually, it's a double figure of eight. You do the first one like this.
Yeah, not much you can teach me about knots, Mary. I was a sailor, remember?
That's the whole ethos of the business, developing the potential of young people through outdoor adventures.
Right.
We get a lot of youngsters who've dropped out of school or been in some kind of trouble.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah, I think so.
Those shoes aren't really designed for this kind of terrain, are they?
No, I didn't realise it was going to be quite so rugged.
Oh, grand, isn't it? The river is brilliant for kayaking.
Right.
You're really not an outdoors kind of person, are you?
Oh, you noticed.
So, how come you ended up with Kenton?
How do you mean?
Well, he's always been pretty outdoorsy.
He runs a bar, so do I. His idea of outdoor fun these days is off-roading in his 4x4.
He's certainly put on a few pounds in the past years.
Has he?
He used to be quite the athlete.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, what's up?
Oh, my shoes come off. Got caught on the... Oh, hang on a minute.
So, how long have you two been together?
Oh, a year, a bit. 18 months.
But your husband...
He only died 2 years ago, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean...
It's okay. Let's carry on, shall we?
Sorry. That's what Kenton always said about me. No discretion.
No, it's okay.
Rushing in where angels fear to tread.
So how long have you and Aiden been together?
Oh, getting on for 7 years.
Oh, that long.
Oh, I was so lucky meeting him when I did. I was a bit of a mess after the divorce. Single parent, no money. Couldn't hold down a regular job because I couldn't afford the childcare.
That sounds familiar.
Does it?
Yeah, my first husband split when my daughter was little.
All right.
And weren't what you might call reliable when it came to maintenance payments.
Whee!
Oh, well done. That was amazing.
I'm pretty good, huh?
Yeah, you made it look so easy the way you scampered up. Like there was no effort involved at all.
You still got a bit stuck at the top there.
Oh, get out of it, Aiden. I practically have to do the splits to get round the overhang.
Anyway, Kenton, how do you feel? Can I give it a go?
Yeah, why not?
You better take your jacket off.
Okay, might take me a little bit longer than you, Mary. It's been a year or two since I attempted anything like this.
And your woolly jumper.
What?
Well, you don't want that flapping around.
But it's freezing.
You'll soon warm up.
I've only got a T-shirt on underneath.
10 minutes and the sweat will be dripping off you.
Well, you're not sweating, are you, Mary?
No.
Remember the first time you did this climb?
That was a really hot day.
Believe me, you don't want to be wearing that.
Okay, if you say so.
All right. And here's your harness.
Oh, dear.
If you just step into the leg loops.
Right.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah, it's just a bit tricky standing on one leg when you can't feel your toes.
And tighten the straps.
Still not sure about these boots.
The first 3 or 4 metres are a piece of cake, but it's a bit of a stretch when you make the shift over to the left.
And the belt.
But your arms are much longer than mine, so you'll probably find it quite easy.
Okay, let's have the rope.
Now remember.
Double figure of eight, I know.
Okay, it's all yours.
Yeah. Just remind me, which way do I thread it?
First time Aiden asked me, I turned him down.
Why?
Once bitten, twice shy.
Oh, you mean after Kenton?
No, I'd sworn I'd never get married again.
It was that bad.
Oh, careful. Path's a bit eroded here.
A bit?
It's okay. Just give me your hand.
It's completely crumbled away.
You can still get past.
Oh, my goodness.
That's it.
Oh,
well done.
Oh.
Now, to be fair, I did only marry Kenton so he wouldn't get thrown out of the country, which, let's face it, is not the best recipe for a happy union.
Well, you must have loved him a bit.
Oh, yeah.
You ought to have a kid with him.
Oh, of course I did. He can be so charming when he puts his mind to it. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that.
No.
But, well, there was the business and Kenton... I mean, don't get me wrong, it wasn't entirely his fault that it went under, but It did all turn into a bit of a nightmare. And that was another reason for turning Aidan down.
How do you mean?
When he said he wanted to chuck in his nice, steady job and start up his own business, I thought, here we go again.
But Aidan's not like Kenton.
No, of course he isn't. Not remotely.
And this business of yours is...
Oh, it's a great success. And it's all down to Aidan. If he says he's going to do something, he'll see it through to the end. He won't jump ship when the going gets tough.
What? Jump ship?
And he's been absolutely brilliant with Muriel. She was a bit of a handful when she was younger. And like I said, I wasn't coping at all well. But Aidan understood her from day one. He really gets it with kids. You know how you've got to set boundaries, let them know who's boss? Kenton doesn't get that at all. I remember when Muriel went over to stay with him.
Can I ask you a favour?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing it again, aren't I? It's a long time ago and we've all made mistakes in the past.
I was only going to say...
And it's actually great to see him again. And to meet you at last.
Could we head back now?
Well, don't you want to see the rapids and the waterfalls?
Honestly?
Well, it's only another 20 minutes.
I don't think I can last another 20 minutes.
I think I might be stuck.
You can't be stuck. Not there.
Well, if I let go with my right hand, I'm going to fall off.
No, you're not.
Quiet, Mary. You're not helping.
But it's so obvious.
Yeah, it's easy when you're standing on the ground. Now, Kenton, I want you to relax, okay?
How am I supposed to do that?
You're sticking your bum out again.
Right.
That's what's making you feel insecure. Swing your hip in, so you're climbing sideways.
Yep.
That's better. Now, you should be able to move your right foot.
I can't even feel my right foot.
If you raise your knee and stick your foot out a little bit further.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Can you feel it?
Yep. Yeah, I got it.
Well done.
Aidan.
What?
He's not very good, is he?
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have realised.
It's not your fault.
Jet lag can be a real killer.
It ain't just that.
Bring back bad memories, does it, being here?
Not here, but I have to go and visit to see my late husband's daughter and, well... I'm really not looking forward to it.
Is Kenton going with you?
I don't know. I ain't sure it's a good idea. I'd like the support. Of course I would, but I'm afraid that Lucy might... And after all, the whole reason Kenton's come is to see Muriel, so maybe it would be better if he stayed here.
Oh, we'll keep an eye on him. Don't worry. Make sure he behaves.
Make sure he doesn't jump ship.
What?
It's been worrying me, what you said earlier.
What did I say?
Well, that Aidan would never jump ship, implying that Kenton...
Oh, me and my big mouth. Take no notice.
Only he told me that... Well, that you threw him out.
Did he tell you why?
Something to do with money.
That's what he said, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
So what? Oh, come on. You've got to tell me now.
Our business was on the rocks... The bank was threatening to foreclose, and yes, I threw him out. But, well, I thought he'd stick around to, you know, help clear up the mess.
But he didn't.
Told me he was popping down to Sydney for a couple of days, then completely disappeared off the radar. Next thing I hear, he's back in Ambridge.
Oh.
So there I was, with a baby, expecting the bailiffs at any moment, and then on my own, without a cent to my name... Alone with the child he'd promised faithfully to support.
Whoa. Oh, God, what was that?
Oh, someone's in trouble. Come on.
Please let me down.
It's all right. It's all right. I've got you. You're perfectly safe. I don't know what you're laughing at.
He looks so silly just dangling there.
Yeah, look, just swing yourself around so you're facing the rock.
How am I supposed to do that?
Well, reach back with your foot. And push to the side.
Now he's swinging the other way.
Now, that's enough, Muriel.
What happened?
Oh, my God, what are you doing now? Are you all right?
What does it look like?
Oh.
He's lost his footing, that's all. It's no big deal.
But why is he swinging like that?
Well, I was trying to get him to turn around. Put out your left hand, Kenton. There's a handhold right behind your bum.
It's no good. I'm swinging about too much.
Look, can't you just lower him down?
It's always better for the novice climber if he can learn to save himself.
Well, he ain't a novice climber.
That way they don't lose confidence.
He's a rather overweight, middle-aged man who's going to do himself an injury if you leave him swinging in the wind like that.
Let him down, Aidan. It'd be better if he could...
Just do it.
Okay. Kenton, prepare for descent.
Okay.
If you can just try and turn around. Yeah. So you can brace yourself with your feet.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. All right, down you come.
Oh!
What happened?
I think he hit his nose.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, that really hurt.
Look at the state of you.
Oh, terra firma. Thank God. Oh,
you are an idiot.
How's my nose?
Scrape the skin off it.
You know what you have to do, Kenton? You have to get straight back up there.
I don't think so.
Otherwise, you'll lose your nerve.
Yeah, give me a day or two, Mary. It's a while since I've done this sort of thing, and, well, actually, I didn't realise just how jet-lagged I am. Oh, God. Give me a hug, love.
Oh, Kenton. You both look so funny. Jolene with her black eye, and now you with your bashed-up nose.
Ambridge Extra is back on Tuesday afternoon at 2:15 when Kenton thinks it's a good idea to surprise Jolene, but she isn't best pleased.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Next, Eleanor Bron continues to read Michael Holroyd's biography of the theatre greats Henry Irving and Ellen Terry. This chapter deals with Irving's early life in a strange but eventful history.
John Brodribb was aged 11 when he arrived in London. A wiry youth with a pale, freckled face, solemn expression, sloping forehead, and penetrating eyes. He had a pronounced speech impediment that, like an echo from the interrupted rhythm of his childhood, made him an unpromising candidate for the ministry. This was a disappointment to his mother, as was his passion for play-acting. When the boy begged his father to take him to a professional theatre, his mother gave her consent, on the understanding that they went to a respectable play by Mr. Shakespeare. The play they saw was Hamlet. That evening at Sadler's Wells held the boy riveted. To be part of this passionate world became a necessity. But on leaving school at the age of 13, his ordinary life settled into Dickensian drudgery, working as a clerk from 9:30 till 7 o'clock, 6 days a week. Outside his hours of work, however, he began to establish the regime he needed to liberate himself from his parents' ambitions. Each morning he rose at 5 and went swimming in the Thames to strengthen his physique. He attended a school of arms in Chancery Lane, where he learnt to handle swords, rapiers and daggers. In the evenings, unknown to his parents, he would hurry off to elocution class to practice recitations. In the summer of 1856, he had a piece of good fortune, a legacy of £100 from an uncle. With this, he was able to equip himself with some essential items, several spectacular wigs, an assortment of feathers and buckles, a dagger, and 3 splendid fencing swords. To test some of these new properties, he purchased the part of Romeo in an amateur production of Romeo and Juliet at the Soho Theatre. For this performance, he had to choose a stage name, a name which would protect his mother from public humiliation. "I've determined on taking the name Irving," he wrote to a friend. He chose Henry as his first stage name, and as Henry Irving, decked himself out with a red velvet costume, white cotton tights, and blue ribbons for his shoes, then applied the dry, caking powder to his face, giving himself a mask on which to paint his character, experiencing a wonderful transformation as he stepped onto the boards that night and began to speak Romeo's lines. The production soon fell into confusion. Irving lost his way in the wings, felt the new wig slide off his head, mislaid his dagger, and waited endlessly for his fellow actors to recover their lines. But he delivered his own lines without hesitation. Having emerged from this ordeal, he decided the time had come for him to be Henry Irving for good, and to try my fortunes in the dramatic profession. But his choice of career was an insult to his mother. She had become reconciled to the fact that his laboured speech made him unfit to be a Methodist minister, only to be told that he could find his tongue well enough for evil purposes. She never forgave him for this wickedness, and vanished from his life, dying of typhoid in 1862, before he had a chance to show his worth. Irving was now 18. Only by abandoning himself, John Henry Brodribb, his parent's son, and becoming someone else, could he gain confidence and find coherence of speech. With an actor friend's letter of recommendation, he left for the new Royal Lyceum Theatre in Sunderland. Over the next 10 years he worked hard to learn his craft, but there were many setbacks. Audiences mocked the peculiar rhythm of jerky vowels and elongated syllables, mocked his disfiguring mannerisms, his short-sightedness, and the dragging gait on bent knees with which he unevenly perambulated the stage. His apprenticeship